Hello and welcome to Down the Dog with me, Matt Ford.
And me, John Richardson.
John, last week we talked about this 20-year-old can of Foster's. What is the latest?
The can did not survive transit. I'll put a picture on the group now. Yeah, okay. I don't think it survived transit. So there's leakage in the box. There's staining. The can itself is in a state. I'll read you the letter from George, who kindly sent the can on. He says, hi, Danny, Matt and John. Sorry for the delay in sending this. I've been traveling a lot for work recently and haven't been able to do it sooner. We're all busy, right? There's a lot going on. You get to the dog when you can, and you're always welcome. I left the layer of dust and grime on the top of the can for John's delectation, but whilst it adds provenance, it's unlikely to add to the palate, as the gentleman whose home this came from is a smoker. Genuinely curious as to how this will assault the Richardson senses, and given the expiry date is 2004, I suspect the actual age may be much older than 20 years. Thanks for the laughs, George. Now, I've shaken the can. There's about, I'd say, a fifth of the can left in there. So I don't, I'm up for a laugh. You know that, Dan, basically, basically the Gazza of British stand up, right? I think that's, I'm going to show you what the can looks like.
Okay. I can't wait for this. Okay. The photo's on the group. It's downloading. Oh God. It looks like it was burnt in a fire.
You can't be drinking that, right?
No, it's black soot. What's the black stuff?
It's there's like, I think where the can has leaked into the mold and grime that existed on the can, it's formed like a tight barrier of, it stinks. It doesn't even smell like beer. It smells like poison.
Some of it is bright yellow, like bile. And then around that is thick, looks like black ash. It looks like it was rescued from Pompeii.
Even so, if I sort of felt any pressure in the can, I might have still gone for it. But the can is very flaccid. And that is a state I know well. and as I say, there's only a dribble left in there, which,
Could you pour some out into a glass so that we can see what the liquid looks like?
Would you, well.
Open the can at least, get the satisfaction
sat where
of that.
I was. I'm sat where I was for Fish Juice Gate, and most of the keys on my laptop still don't press down properly as a result of that. Okay, I'll put my camera back on then.
Oh, lovely.
I will show you. Well, I will empty the can out into some sort of receptacle.
Just to give the listeners a flavour of this, when we record this, we turn our cameras off to maximise the use of bandwidth. Having all our cameras on can slow down and create delays. So John's just turned his camera back on, and it's got that slight grainy astronaut footage. It's like I'm talking to him in space, but here he comes in grainy, carrying the bag. Ooh, okay. This feels like from a different time, or just a very early webcam. I didn't have one back then, but, you know, it's sort of very Windows 95. I was just saying, John, the footage is quite grainy because of the bandwidth, so it's almost like I'm talking to you and you're in space.
On the camera, can you hear me, though?
Yes, I feel like Neil Armstrong's wife wishing that you, you know, that just, God, why have you gone and done this, but I'm so bloody proud of you.
I mean, I genuinely cannot touch the can. Pour it into my beer glass.
Lovely.
There's something in there. There is a little dribble of something in there.
Even the creaking of the can sounded antiquated.
I mean, can you see that?
Bad, it's bad.
Right, here we go then. I'll pour.
Then hell. Oh, it's aged. It's mature.
It looks like
granddad's piss.
It looks like a sample of somebody who has not got long left.
Oh, dear God. The face.
Oh, it smelt. Oh, it's sharp. It smells like one of the new grapefruit beers that the kids drink. You know, passion fruit and grape, what are they called? Goza or something.
Oh, I know. Grow up. Well, either have a little or have a lager. Don't create these hybrids, this Franken beer.
Say goodbye.
Oh, he's off. He's off already. It didn't just look flat and rich. It looked thick. It did look like granddad's urine. If they'd have found that in my catheter at the hospital, I'd have been rushed back down to ICU.
Incredibly grateful to George for sending on. Obviously.
Yeah, thanks, George.
Cheers, George.
Top content. it's incredibly exciting watching you open a lager from the past.
Yeah, I've got a little card for you. He sent you a little card as well.
Like a get well card?
Yeah, but he's been so keen to specify that it's not anything else. I think it might be. It says, please forward this to Matt. It's a get well card. I put get well in inverted commas, like he doesn't really mean it. Get well.
Oh, dear.
And then he's put, I promise I'm not a nutcase, which is what a nutcase would write.
I know. I'm now worried about this card, but I'll be seeing you later this week, John.
Yes. I'll pass it on.
We are going to Sheffield Wednesday against Leeds. Will be our second football match this week, because just 2 days ago at the time of recording, we went to Nottingham Forest versus Liverpool at the City Ground. John, I know you're not a Forest fan. I know you're not a Liverpool fan. Mm-hmm. What a wonderful day out.
It was a cracking day out. We had a right laugh, didn't we, until the end when they ruined it with the cheating.
Fuckers.
Front page of the BBC website, it's the game everybody's talking about. Well, Mark Clattenburg's talking about it quite a lot. And I think Jermaine Genas had a few words to say about it.
I must admit, by that point, I didn't spot, I didn't realise what had happened. I thought
we were at the other corner, weren't we? To the are you calling it a clanger or a howler? What's the official? What are the tricky trees calling it?
A miscarriage of justice. It can only be heard at the Old Bailey itself.
Mm.
So I didn't quite realise. Also, I didn't realise all the fuss around the referee afterwards, because we were down the end. We were so close to the Liverpool fans. And it is.
Well, we could have had, were we the kind of fans to do this? You know, you could have pelted something at Darwin Núñez. I mean, he celebrated. It felt personal, actually. If Liverpool want to make a statement, it felt like he knew where you were sat. He knew what you'd been through. And it felt like he looked you in the eye to celebrate that goal. What do you think?
He put the new into Núñez. You know what I didn't like was him kicking the advertising hoardings.
Yeah, have some respect for Johnston's paints.
Well, they're these electrical ones now, aren't they? But don't start. You've just scored. I never understand why people are so angry when they score. Be happy, smile. But it was very hard to take. The problem is, when you've had such a special day, Forest have been very good to me throughout my illness and recovery.
Nothing before that, to be clear. Oh, no. While you were well, they didn't give a shit about you.
I was a pariah. listeners may know, I have a good relationship with the club. I've done things with them over the years. But
after my that sound very weird.
Diagnosis, Steve Cooper was, and still is, regularly in touch and checks up on me, as does Stuart Pearce. You know, they've done a lot for me, and you know Johnny Owen, and he's been phenomenal. And but there's a guy at the club called, and I can't remember. Do you remember he told us how to pronounce his surname?
De Hoher, I think, or something like that. De Hoher.
Ah, yes.
De Hoher.
Yeah. So it's got Dutch lineage. It looks like he's written De Hoogie, but that is not how you pronounce it. And now I've forgotten.
Doogie.
I'd had too many Madris at the weekend, but which wouldn't be my first choice. I don't think it would be yours either.
Well, in theme with the Forest squad.
You piece of work.
God, I like a Madri.
Now listen to you. But yes, we
Well, I was on the pale ale, wasn't I?
I was for a bit.
It's your switch.
Will is he works at Forest, and he has been very kind throughout this whole thing. And when I was out, he just said, pick a game and we'll look after you. And, you know, you can bring a few close friends and family. So I picked Liverpool because my dad supports Liverpool. And we had a great day out, and he got me pitch side for Mull of Kintyre. And then afterwards, meeting the players. I tell you what's mad is, I'm 41 now. I am as starstruck when I meet Ryan Yates at the age of 41 and Anthony
What
Elanger.
A lovely man.
Oh, man. I'm as
lovely
starstruck
pair of men.
As when I met Stuart Pearce when I was 8. It's the same level of, oh, my God, you play for Forest. I can't interact with you like a functioning human being.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that came across.
Oh, but I was just like, you just feel, all you can say is, oh, you did good, you are. Like, I hope you stay in Forest. You've just become a child. It's
you
so
did keep saying that to him. Is it because you're just brilliant? You know, just every challenge, man. Everything you do. It was lovely to watch because. I think we've talked about this before. What you're struck with as much now is just the age gap. I mean, for a 10-year-old to be starstruck meeting a 30-year-old is normal, but for a 41-year-old to be starstruck meeting a 21-year-old is odd.
It does feel weird, but then I just think this is football, and they are great, and I do love them. And they were both such... You know what you really... I've always been quite defensive of footballers, and I think you have as well, because I think there's a lot of class snobbery about it.
Yeah.
Young rugby players don't get the same words used about them. And talking to Ryan Yates and Anthony Langer afterwards, these are intelligent men. They're not just great athletes. They're clever blokes. They're fantastic. I would go so far as to say they are perfect people. And I think you'd agree.
Well, I mean, I don't want to get into Fordy's hyperbole this early. I was very struck by the pair of them. I thought they were beautiful, kind, not remotely, it wasn't standoffish. It was like, you know, there's a picture we've got of Anthony Langer with his hand on your shoulder while you're talking, which is, you know, on a human level, wonderful people. Can I say they're perfect people? I've not been in their basements. I don't know what they're getting up to. So if you want to put me on record saying that, you got another thing coming, because I'm not going down on this shit, mate.
But it'd be a great feature. What's in Yates's basement?
Yates's basement.
Yeah, I'll ask him. They were just great. And what was really funny?
Bag of cement.
Being in the tunnel after the game, you feel like you're intruding. You're like, oh, I'm not sure we should be here. And actually, I felt quite worried being in their domain, because the players are coming past, including Liverpool players, and then Klopp's in the tunnel.
Yeah.
And what was really funny was afterwards when we were going to that bar, my dad's walking through the car park. I said, Dad, because Klopp's walking past and he's a Liverpool fan. My dad just went, oh, hello, Mr. Klopp.
Mr. Klopp, sir.
Oh, hello, Mr. Klopp. Just like he came. I was worried at 41 that I'd been like too much of a boy. And then my dad's there in his 60s. Oh, hello, Mr. Klopp. Totally subservient. But what a great moment.
Well, I mean, I would say the same of... So there was a few people in the tunnel, wasn't there? There was the journos, and then a few people waiting, and there was a kid there, and Klopp did not hesitate, did he? The minute his interview finished, he bent down and picked the kid up. So again, you know, very like immediately personable. But the minute I knew the game had been more controversial than we'd picked up on from where we were sat was seeing the face of Nuno.
Yeah.
My God. I thought he was angry with me personally. The way he looked at us down that tunnel, I thought, what have I done?
Was that wrong? Get it in a minute. It did feel like you're waiting outside the headmaster's office.
Yeah, he was in a right stink, and rightly so when you watch it back. And then it's odd when you speak to, so we had some guests staying this weekend who, not massive football fans. When you explain it to them, my friend just said, so does that mean, does it go back to just being 0-0 then? And I was like, well, yeah. You know, it should be sort of that simple, but no, that's it. They've just lost forever.
Oh, it was because obviously being back there was so fantastic.
Mm.
And then for it to end like that, it didn't fully ruin the day, but there was a moment, you know, because they took us pitch side for Mull of Kintyre. And I've sang that song God knows how many times from the stands. When you're at pitch level, and you can hear it coming from all four sides, it is something else. And I actually couldn't move my head. The closest, the only other time I've done this was the time I got seasick when I went whale watching and spewed off the back of the boat. Where I was like, I literally at one point could just, I was just looking up to the sky because I thought, if I move my head a millimetre, I'm going to fully burst out in tears. I actually wouldn't have been able to.
I was going to say you were going to puke. That would have been absolutely exceptional, Sally. Yeah, and the players kind of, looks like there's somebody ralphing on the side of the pitch there. With their headline in the Nottinghamshire Evening Post. Ford says, fans singing made me physically sick.
No, it was like a... It was.
Mull of Kintyre was like vomiting off the back of a whale-watching boat.
It was too much. It was too much for me to take in, because memories come back to you at that moment. And what's special, many special things about the two football clubs we support is our history and everything, but our grounds haven't changed that much for a long time. They're the places we went to as kids. Mm. Like, you think of your granddad and all the people that you've been with and things like that. But I keep having this thought, and I don't know whether this is mad, but... And I don't want to make this too sad, so I can't explain this any other way, right? So when the most difficult point in hospital was when I had that terrible nerve pain for 3 weeks, and I was really in a very difficult place psychologically because I was having to endure this thing that just day and night was crippling me. And I would think of my future self. I would, you know, when I was at the depths, I would think my future self is out there. I do exist in the future, and my future self is out there. And I would think of myself just at home, just doing ordinary things, just sat on the sofa, just you're out there, pain-free. You get through this. But I would think you're also going to have really special moments. We don't know what they are, but I would think you're going to go to Forest again. You are going to go again. And then it was like this mad thing where I'm stood there on the pitch and all those emotions are coming. And it was almost like I was reaching back through time and telling my former self that this, and it was almost like I could go back into the mind of myself at that moment, because it was such a moment of clarity in the middle of that pain that it was almost like, it sounds mad, not that I time traveled, because that is not possible, but it was almost like I was talking to my past self and my past self was talking back. I know this sounds mad. I can't explain it any better than that. But it was almost like I was dragging myself through time off that hospital bed to that moment.
Mm.
It was like something from A Christmas Carol or something. I was just like, holy fuck, I got out of there. Got out. It was an incredible thing. And then Nunes scored. I just thought, oh, fuck this to hell.
You made it sound like those moments were 5 seconds apart. Just having this literally floating up like the end of Shawshank, and then he scored.
I tell you what was really funny. So then we walked back round to where we sat, and I couldn't bring myself to like look up because I knew there were people that I know there and stuff, and lots of Forest fans have been very kind to me on social media and that. And but as I was walking around, some people said, "All right, forward in." Like there was a lovely lad in the lower trend who said, "I love the podcast."
Which one?
Hello to you. Get in touch if that was you. hello@downthedog.com. And then there was a lovely family and their kid was on crutches. They're going, 40, I'm on crutches. It was brilliant. Really like funny. And then because the game had started on the way back, there was a guy I walked past around the back of the Trenton and I'm on crutches. And he just went, sit down. It was funny. And his face was literally like, I was like, oh my God. Livid.
It wasn't a joke.
I think it was a bit of a joke. Because at Forest, they do it all the time. Sit down! And I was just like, oh, man. I've just been through this incredible, almost transcendental moment. And then, plonk, straight back down.
Well, that's it. There were times you said to me, you know, I don't want people to treat me any differently. And that was that moment, rare in tooth and claw. Sit down, you prick!
You know what? Even the result couldn't ruin that day. It was such a cool thing. And we had Mark Crosley sat with us for a bit. I tell you what, he looks younger now than he did when he played.
Yeah, he told me he made his debut for Forest in 1988. I couldn't get my head round it.
Someone got him to sign a pro set card. I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
That pro set cards are great. If you've still got any, email us, lowitdownthedog.com. But he's got so many Cluffy stories. And Crosley, people might not know this, I didn't know this, is the world after dinner speaking champion. He'd beaten John Hartson and John Barnes in the final. I don't know if you were there when he was telling us.
Is that true?
Yeah. He won it this year or last year, right? And I thought I'd heard every story about Cluffy going. The one that was really making me howl is going on during one game. Cluffy's just screaming at me, Jigsaw! Jigsaw! And he's like, what's going on? He said like a week passes before he summons to like the courage to ask him. He's like, Gaffer, why are we shouting Jigsaw at me during the game on Wednesday night? He went, because when the ball comes into the box, you go to fucking pieces. Jigsaw! And I mean, how mad. Imagine now on like Sky Sports if you saw Pep Guardiola doing that to Edison.
Well, I think he doesn't have the creative. It's not far off what Guardiola did to Phillips, except there's absolutely no creativity to it whatsoever. There's no joke and there's no affection. It's just, he was very close. He came back and he had too many pizzas. That's it.
So brutal. But
gratitude, isn't it, to everybody. I mean, everybody, you know, in the bars and, you know, the players who came into the box and everyone. It was the ultimate experience, wasn't it? Everybody was very kind. And the only thing that went wrong was the result. I don't think I can share it because he's just a guy. Do you know what I mean? He's just a guy. But we were sat near the Liverpool fans.
Yeah.
There was a man filming himself. Just, I don't understand who these football fans are. And we've talked about this a lot, that, I mean, we were literally sat, weren't we, betwixt Forest fans and Liverpool fans. And if you were to describe that to people who don't really go to football, they would picture that as just constant, like, spitting and throwing coins. And it was just normal people on it. It was normal football fans laughing and joking with the police. Not a hint, even towards the end when it had gone to shit. There was a bit of shouting, but there was no like, oh God, this is going to really, they're going to start jumping over the fences or anything.
No.
But this man filming himself, selfie style, pulling these obscene faces. Was he like sort of trying to make himself look like George Clooney, wasn't he? And they're the ones I don't understand. I just think, what are you doing here? Why are you... What is your match day experience? He looked like he was on his own. So I'm just going to go down there. And then when it's quiet a bit, I'll just sort of do it. He did like a 360 spin and he would lift the camera up like, you know, like you imagine a 15-year-old girl would and sort of slightly pout. Fully grown man. I can't stop watching the video. I've got about a 5-second video of him. And it just... I'm not, you know, I don't say this very often. It's very rare I feel like a normal human being. And I watch that video and think, do you know what? I was just having a pint and watching the game. And I think in that moment, that was the right thing to do.
It's obviously, you know, YouTubers are out there and they do this sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, this is what social media has done to elements of football. But I don't think that guy was a YouTuber. He was just the no. madness not to just lose
talking.
Yourself. It was bonkers.
And it wasn't just... even like it was when they'd scored. It was like just randomly in the 68th minute, just a little 360 pout.
I mean, I wonder if they do this at major, like, news events. You know, the next general election, yeah. If Starmer's walking up Downing Street, they're just going to be like the people that are filming themselves go, what's that?
College Green.
It's so weird to not... As a football fan as well, you're like, these are Liverpool fans. You know, they've travelled all the way from some of the suburbs of Nottingham to watch their team play. You think, you know what? We were listening to Five Live on the drive back yesterday after the Manchester derby, and there was a City fan on the radio, and she went, and I'd just like to wish all the United fans a safe trip back to London. I love it. A squeal. By the way, I don't know if you listen to Five Live.
Six
sometimes with Savage.
No, I can't be doing that, I'm afraid. I like Five Live.
Yeah, I mean,
Sutton and Savage drive me insane.
Savage is,
and I know that's
like,
what they're trying to do. That's not a dig. That's the way they've chosen to entertain their audience.
But Savage doesn't even know the phone number. Man, it must be written down somewhere. All right, give us a call. 087605. You just like, oh mate, I can't. This is. It's too much, but that was funny. People's calls are funny. But yes, filming yourself. I don't understand, especially when you've basically won it in the 99th minute and you're in the title race. It's going to keep you top of the Premier League. Mm-hmm. And the first thing you think to do is turn the camera on yourself.
Yeah.
You can't be that bothered about it.
I do think you'd sort of almost have to speak to people in 20 years. You know, like you'd speak to a football fan now. If I asked you about 90s Forest, you would have memories that I don't think these people will have when you say, like, oh, do you remember that game? And they're like, oh, I had my back to it. Yeah, I was sort of filming it so I could, yeah, I sort of remember. But they'll have the video, so they'll just watch the video over and over again. But it's a different kind of remembering, isn't it?
It'd be like taking a selfie on, it'd be like filming yourself walking down the aisle on your wedding day.
Yeah.
Be mad.
I bet there are people that do that.
Do you know what?
Or like I think, have yes. selfie sticks strapped to their top hat or something.
People will be, in the not too distant future, in fact, we may be living in a world where this already happened, will be buried in a selfie pose. You'll have an open casket and the corpse will be taking the funeral photos. They will have an app where the arm will be rigid because of rigor mortis and you can just sort of lean in and get a selfie. With the deceased. Oh, God, a couple of times at the game, didn't I erupt with bad language?
You did, and it was lovely. It was lovely to see. It was lovely to see that young man from the terraces is still in there. It was all very polite, and it was lovely, and it was, oh, good to see. Well, thanks so much. I mean, we've been so well. Get up, you fucking... Yes, I'm so sorry. Yes, of course, I'd love another drink. Thanks so much. You piece of... Clock, you...
We're sharing the area with other people, so you have to be slightly on your best behavior. But I do remember at one point, fuck off, you shit c-. And then see you going. What do the other people think?
The involuntary nature of it.
Oh my God, we've had an email. Danny's just put this on the group from Dominic. Oh my God, this is mad. This is like his email. This is live. He's put, lads, hope you guys are okay despite the festering turd of a refereeing performance Paul Tierney offered on Saturday. Very much in Richardson language, that.
He says, turd.
Festering turd. It's very, very yes. Rico.
Well, it's adjacent. Rico via Rick Mayall.
Okay.
Any florid swearing I do like that is courtesy of Rick so Mayall and Aidan Edmondson and their wonderful writing.
It goes Rico, and then this is Dominico. So there's obviously some sort of parallel. So on Saturday, my day was made, so I briefly got to meet Matt Ford. Fordy was hogging the applause from the Trent end. I didn't realise he got the applause from the Trent end. I think he's joking. So I was lucky enough to beat my way to the front of the throng of Forest fans where I told Fordy I love the podcast. He kindly gave me a fist bump and thanked me. This was Dominic. Dominic, you made my day. He said, I'd like to say that to Matt that it was for this podcast, Reservoir Red Dogs and British Scandal, but not his political one. I'm too thick for that. I haven't had a relative that's had a minute's applause at a football game, but in a new note I wrote on my phone, I've asked for it if I'm to die in some tragedy. Oh, I'd like to ask the lads, what memorial do you want if you lads die unexpectedly? E.g., does John want a black armband on every player of Countdown? Go well, lads, and Matt is always welcome on Over the Trent, my shit for his podcast. Dom, I would love to come on Over the Trent. I'm going to email you now. Oh, my God. I think he's joking about getting applause from the Trent, and I'm sure I'd have noticed. But I was just so watching where I was going, so I didn't want to look up and cry. But that was Dominic, who, if I remember rightly, had a lovely Art of Football top on.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, quality gear, innit?
Well, there you go. Hello to Dominic.
Quality clubber.
That's all we've got time for on this episode, but we'll be back at the end of the week with another one.
React to anything you've heard in this episode, hello@downthedog.com. And we are now back on another slice where you can get extra episodes and lots more content. And for the love of God and your own body, share, subscribe, leave a 5-star written review.
Until next time, don't get up the cat, get down the dog.
And don't fuck your stoma. Bye.
Bye.